A week last Tuesday at our regular Tuesday evening prayer meeting, Liz Crowther shared a text she had received from Rosie Crowther, her sister-in-law. So Rosie is married to Phil Crowther, and Phil is the older brother of Steve Crowther. He gave up the welcome here this morning. Phil's life is ebbing away. He's a married man with three children, 19 down to 15. And it's a horrible situation. A loving family being torn apart. I wonder what was in that text message. Well, it was words from the Bible. It's words that you will find in the psalm that we read. So if you turn to page 546, Psalm 119, and the words in that text message were the first part of verse 68. They're amazing words coming from Rosie. And she says to Liz, about God, you are good and do good. God is good and does good. And it's my prayer that each one of us, as we leave the service today, will have a fresh, powerful sense that God is good and that he does good. And that fresh conviction that this is true will give us fresh hope and peace and trust. God is good and God does good. Now, to get the full impact of this, we need to see the context. We need to read the previous verse. The psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Now, we don't use the word afflicted hardly at all, do we, in everyday conversation? In the dictionary, it says that to be afflicted is to suffer bodily or mentally. Mental or bodily suffering. So we could use the two words, painful difficulties. Painful difficulties. Not all difficulties cause pain. Many problems we cope with, don't we, in the normal run of life. But some cause us deep, sometimes very deep pain. In that second hymn we sang in the first verse, sometimes sorrows like sea billows roll. And the sea can illustrate this difference. So you're in the sea and perhaps you like surfing and they're big waves, but you're riding them and it's quite exhilarating and it can be to solve problems. But if you're being swamped, you feel you're drowning in the sea, then that's a painful difficulty. So if you feel you're drowning, if you're going under, that's an affliction. That's a really God-used word, a painful difficulty. Now, we need to be also clear by introduction that these painful difficulties ultimately, this is a very deep truth, they ultimately come from God. Look at verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. And to be very clear, God's painful difficulties are never, ever punishment. Jesus took that for the Christian on the cross. But they do come with his fatherly love. They come from God. We can't avoid that. So, by way of moving on then to look at this subject, let's think first about how it was, how it is before these painful difficulties come, as it was for the psalmist. And he says, looking back, actually, in verse 67, I'd gone astray. I went astray. And we're not told what. We can't assume it was a big bad thing in his life. He just says, I went astray. And we know from what happened to Job, who suffered very terribly, this can happen to a man, a person, who is unbelievably good. God three times says of Job, he's blameless. He's upright. He's got a deep reverence for God. He hates evil. He's a really, really good man, but he suffers terrible difficulty. So we don't know what it was. But there's a key fact. All of us have a constant tendency to go astray. Not just once. All of us constantly have a constant tendency to go astray. This was true of the psalmist. He says in verse 5 of this psalm, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. I need you, Lord, to keep me in the right path. And then look at the very end of the psalm, this long psalm, the longest, the very last verse. I have gone astray. Like a lost sheep. It happens again and again and again. And it's not just true of the psalmist. It's true of all of us. Behold, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's not just true of the non-Christian. It's true of the Christian. It's true of everybody. There's a constant tendency in us to turn to our own way. As we've said before, it's a bit like being in a canoe paddling up the river. Being a Christian is a bit like being in a canoe paddling up the river. The sun shines. Oh, I'll just get out my sandwiches and I'll just relax. I'll just relax for a bit. What happens? What happens? You drift downstream. And that's just how it is for us in the Christian life. There's a constant pressure to push us towards our own way. But let's try and rewind the time machine. How was it in his life before these painful difficulties came? Well, the clear inference, I think, is that life was going well. Things were pretty well sorted. He was in control. It was nice. It was okay. And we come to another key fact. We all face very specific dangers when things are going well. We all face very specific dangers when things are going well. Let me just briefly mention four. We'll linger on the first one. The Bible is very clear that we should have a pilgrim mindset as Christians. We should be thinking of this life as being a short journey on the way to be with God. On the way to eternity. We are to be strangers and pilgrims. This world is not my home. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. Our citizenship is where? What country does the Christian belong to? Not here. It's heaven. That's our home country. This world is not my home. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29 to 31, I'm giving you the references, not to turn up, but for those who are taking notes. You can look at them later. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, God says through Paul, the time is short. Your life here is very brief. He says, let those who are married be as though they weren't married. Those who've got joys in their life as though they weren't full of joy. Those who've got problems as though they weren't. Those who buy things as though they didn't possess them. Time is so short. In 2 Peter, God says, 1,000 years are like just one day in my sight. Just one day. Now that's figurative language, but just to bring it home, if we assume that we live 70 years, then if 1,000 years equals one day, 70 years is less than 2 hours. Less than 2 hours. This just illustrates, as God looks at our lives, that's how brief it is. Time is short. Don't put roots down here. But we all do. Every single one of us puts deep roots down here. Might be career, a new job, children, wow, grandchildren, wow, that can start to cause deep roots to go down. Might be Christian ministry. Do you know, Job was that blameless man, but as he reflects on how it was before he faced his terrible troubles, in Job 29, verse 18, he said, I'll die in my nest. I'll multiply my years as the sand. He's saying, I'm going to carry on living a nice, comfortable life. He'd put roots down. I have to say, the death of Mr. Timbrell, the blue coat head, and the illness of our dear brother Phil Crowther has really convicted me. I am not living as I should as a pilgrim. And having heard that lesson, I feel, from the Lord, I'm still struggling. My dear brothers and sisters, we keep on going astray. We keep on thinking this world is my home, and it's not. 3 other quick examples of the dangers we face when things are going well. We trust in other things before we trust in God. Now we still say, oh yeah, my trust is in God. And we genuinely mean that. But actually deep down, it can easily become, well, God's the safety net. If other things don't work out, God will bail me out. If my money runs out, if my natural skills and contacts and resources don't work, if others let me down, then I'll trust in God. One famous Christian general in the 17th century said to his soldiers, trust God and keep your powder dry. And the order is very significant. He didn't say, keep your powder dry and trust God. Now, first of all, trust God. Start there. And then take appropriate steps to try and sort things out. But we so often reverse the order, don't we? When things are going well, it's so easy to do that. Another danger, a third danger, God can become distant and unreal. We don't feel we need him so much. We don't thank him so much. And we can become, finally, so easily less sensitive to the needs of others. So, let me simply ask you, are any of these your dangers? It's good to examine ourselves. Are you going astray? Are any of these four dangers, making this world your home, making your trust in God a safety net, not your first line? God distant or unreal, not really feeling for the needs of others, are they your dangers? It may be others for you, but examine yourself. But we move on. The time came for the psalmist when this painful difficulty, and it occurred more than once in his life, this painful difficulty came. And they come to us. Might be health. Might be old age. It might be our expectations and hopes are not met. Maybe our plans are messed up. It could involve you personally or those you deeply love and care about. It could be very close at hand. Or it could be something like the persecution of other Christians, which you feel so deeply it becomes a painful difficulty for you personally. In our families, in our work. It may be outside your control. It may be your mistake. It could be the recession. You know, we mustn't make the mistake of looking at other people and thinking it's all okay for them. Each heart knows its own bitterness. I was with my son John on Friday. And he's gutted. He's experiencing a really painful difficulty. Not physically, but in his mind. Because he's broken his ankle badly. That means he can't play football for the rest of this term. And there's two hugely important matches. And the disappointment is gutting him. Now you might say, that's nothing. I wouldn't mind missing two football matches. And you wouldn't, would you? You see, God sends things in a very personal way. We need the grace to accept that what God sends into my life, into your life, is what he sees is just the right thing to accomplish his deep, mysterious purposes. So he says, I was afflicted, not looked for, not wanted, not expected, but it came. Now, we have to recognise as we move on, there are dangers as we face a time of painful difficulty. What you say? Surely not. You just explained dangers when things are going well. Are you also saying there's problems when things are going badly? Does that mean there's dangers all the time? Yes. Yes. Every step of the way in the Christian life, we're facing dangers. The potential to pull us off track. What are some of the dangers that we're vulnerable to when we're in a time of painful difficulty? Well, principally, we're vulnerable to negative thoughts and emotions. We're vulnerable to negative thoughts and emotions. Worry. Fear. Resentment, depressed, impatient, bitter, angry. We're vulnerable to these dangers. Let me linger on that last one, the danger of anger. We can be angry with ourselves, at our weakness, at our sinful thoughts, at our mistakes, at the fact that I'm not coping better. We can be angry with others. They've let me down. They've abandoned me. They've hurt me. And we start to withdraw, even from our very closest relationships. But deepest of all, we have to be honest, we are all vulnerable to being angry with God. God isn't good. He's not doing good. He doesn't care. He isn't really in control. He doesn't love me and those I care about. I can't trust him. Why is he doing this? And at that point, the devil comes in. He's a real person. He's an enemy. He hates peace. He hates you being at peace. That's why he wants you to be all churned up inside. He hates peace between you and others. That's why he tries to disrupt relationships. But most of all, he hates God. And the devil will do all he possibly can to blacken God's character in your mind. It was there in the Garden of Eden. He blatantly, horribly tells Eve, in effect, God is a liar and God is unkind. God said, if you eat the fruit, you will surely die. Satan says, you shall not surely die. He's accusing God of being a liar. Then he says, no, God gave you this command not to eat the fruit because he knew that if you in the day you did eat it, your eyes would be opened. You would be like God, knowing good and evil. I.e., in other words, God is withholding something good from you. He's being unkind. And that's a constant attack by Satan. He persuaded Eve. Will he persuade you? Thankfully, he didn't persuade the psalmist. The psalmist saw the answer. And that's the connection with our key theme. God is good and does good. So the dear psalmist, he knew these painful difficulties, but he could still say, God is good and does good. God is 100% good. There is no bad in God. He never makes a mistake. He is never unkind. Now the fact is we have no other human role model, leaving aside the Lord Jesus who's now in heaven, but in terms of people that we talk to day by day, week by week, we have no other role model of somebody who is 100% good. The most wonderful person, the goodest, if I can use that word, the most good person you've ever known is nothing, nowhere is near as good as God. Other people may make mistakes. They may act sinfully. You may have made mistakes, but God never. God is good. He does good. And the fact is this, that God is so great that he can bring good out of anything. And for the believer, he will. As a cast iron promise, he will bring good out of everything. Now that never makes wrong things right. It never makes sin less than sin. That never makes death anything but horrible, an enemy. But we can trust God to bring good out of it. And I can easily prove that to you. What was the greatest, most wicked evil that has ever occurred on this earth? Well, we all know, don't we? It was the torture, the deliberate, willful torture of the man who is God, and the crucifixion of the man who is God. But what amazing good God has brought from that. Eternal, indescribable good. The salvation of a number no person can number. Sins dealt with for the death of Jesus on the cross. God, I say, can bring good out of anything. So I want to ask you, can you see this? Can you this morning get hold of this? The psalmist could. He got hold of it. God is good and does good. It's there in verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. The role of the Bible was very important in this victory that the psalmist got. Look at verse 92. Unless your law, the Bible, had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction, my painful difficulties. Look at verse 143 in the same psalm. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The wonderful role of the Bible in helping us keep hold of this truth, no matter what is going on, God is good and does good. Let me be more personal. Can you personally this morning see this? That God is good and does good. Now, some of you will say, yes, I can. Yeah, I can. I can rest afresh on the wonderful truth that God is always good and he always does good. And you might think of the words of Isaiah 55, where God says, my ways are not your ways, neither my thoughts are your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above yours. Yeah. That's who you are, Lord. I trust you again. I rest afresh in your infinite goodness and wisdom. And some of you will be there. Praise God for that. Rest there. But some of you may be saying, no, I can't see it. I'm hurting too much. I care too much. And you may be feeling, I want to shout, what is God doing? What is God doing? And the enemy then starts to whisper. That's right. God doesn't care. God isn't good. God has made a mistake. God is unkind. And, you know, where he wants to get to is that voice being the only thing you hear. So all you're hearing is, God is bad. God is horrible. God is... Stop! God says, resist the devil. Jesus says, the devil is a liar. Don't listen to him. Let me say it again. Don't listen to him. God is good. And he does good. You can't understand. You don't know. You're perplexed. You're hurting. There's tears. Bad things never make God bad. Bad things never make God bad. On the church holiday, somebody shared that one particular thing they found helpful was this saying. And it's a quote from somebody else, and a preacher, where he said, one of the problems we often face in the Christian life is that we listen to ourselves, we don't talk to ourselves. We often listen to ourselves, we don't talk to ourselves. And there's a great deal of wisdom in that. We need to talk to ourselves, talk Bible truth to ourselves. Talk the truth again and again and again that God is good and he does good. Perhaps you can't see the way forward. You can't see how this painful difficulty will work out, will be resolved, can have any good at all in it. But God is still good, and he does good. Rest there. Rest there. And you know, there's just one incredibly amazing thing in these verses. David, in verse 68, the second part then says, "Teach me your statutes." He's actually saying, I know I'm going to go astray again. Lord, please keep teaching me. And if need be, Lord, send in more painful difficulties, if that's what you see I need. Let me ask you, do you value holiness that much? Is it that important to you? It needs to be. It was for the psalmist. Ah, you may say, I'm struggling. I'm struggling to get there. Well, you aren't the first one. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So, in conclusion, maybe you can't understand. Maybe you are hurting very, very deeply. But through the tears, do say with the psalmist, God is good. And he does good. You know, and that transforms everything. The circumstances may not change, but if you stand on this ground, resist the devil, believe the Bible, talk to yourself, God is good, and he does good, then with that truth burned afresh into your inmost soul, you can go forward tomorrow, next week, and every single day of your life with an unquenchable trust, hope, and peace, because God is good and he does good.